The Westwood One Podcast Network.
Never quit radio. All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
The Team Never Quit podcast is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. Are you building your rainy day fund? Navy Federal Credit Union can help. Remember, small steps now can mean big earnings later. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/save. Federally insured by NCUA. Hello there, Team Never Quit Nation. Welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. My name's Andrew, joined by Marcus and Morgan Luttrell. We're excited today to have Will Chesney on today's show. He's a Navy SEAL, the author of No Ordinary Dog, which shares the story of Will's canine partner, Cairo, friendship, and the historic Bin Laden raid. But before we get to that interview, we got a Patreon question of the day. Marcus, Morgan, Dusty asks, why did you guys not join the Navy right after high school?
Our high school guidance counselor told us we were too stupid to go to college and said, hey, you guys need to go to a trade school. I wanted to be a naval officer. Yeah, our high school guidance counselor was like, you guys aren't built for academia. You should go to a trade school. And they said join the military. I wanted to be a naval officer eventually, and I knew I had to have a college degree to do that.
Okay, so I didn't want to do any of that in the beginning, but he's the older brother, so he kind of called the shot. So we kind of started going down that route. And college is a great social experiment as well. I mean, it kind of gets you out of the house. And we still have the friends we had from college, and it just teaches you a little bit more about yourself, or you can just get shotgun straight into it. With us, it took a little bit of time, and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, make no mistake about it. College was not an educational experience as far as academia goes. It was out away from what we were used to and becoming men and living on our own and learning to network and survive. I think that's why we stuck it out, because I graduated with a 2.03 GPA. I was last in my class.
Yeah, we kind of did the education thing the back way. You went out and did all the hard stuff in the beginning. Then you went to college to see how much you had learned through life. And obviously, look at my brother. He obviously picked up a lot of stuff. I didn't.
I think that's the answer to that question.
Thanks, Dusty, for asking that question. If you want exclusive access to the show, bonus behind-the-scenes content, you can join us on Patreon. There's awesome perks like coupon codes to the shop, some sweet swag, challenge coins, hats like the one I'm rocking right now. And you can get rare access to Morgan, Marcus, and all of our incredible guests. You can join us at patreon.com/teamneverquit. All right, guys, let's get to the show. What's up, guys? I hope everyone had a great Mother's Day. With all that's going on this year, I didn't get a chance to hang out with my mom this year, which I normally do, which is a real bummer. And, that sucked. But, it's all good. We had a great conversation on the phone. To make this Mother's Day special, I decided I was going to give her a really cool gift. And actually, the gift hasn't come in yet. And my mom listens to this podcast, so I can't really go into a lot of details about it. But I did find the perfect thing. This will kind of give her a little bit of the secret. So if you're listening, Mom, sorry. It's coming. It's a hand painting made from a photo from the team over at Paint Your Life. I've told you guys about Paint Your Life before. These guys will actually take a photo. You'll work with one of their artists, and they will literally turn your photo into a painting. When I first heard of paintyourlife.com, I thought, man, this is a cool idea, but it's got to be expensive, because to take a photo and turn it into an original painting, that's got to be crazy expensive. But really, it wasn't. It was super affordable, and I'll tell you what, the photo of our dogs you got turned into a painting was epic, and I can't wait for my mom to get hers. One, it's not too late to get your mom a Mother's Day gift if you forgot, you slackers. Two, there's other holidays. There's wedding anniversaries. There's wedding gifts. There's, anniversaries. Whatever it is, it's whatever the special occasion, Paint Your Life makes a really, really cool gift. And it's a real easy process. Basically, you hop on their website, You upload your photo. You pick one of their artists out. You get to work with them. It takes about 3 weeks to get the painting back. It really is like one of the most meaningful gifts I think someone can give. And you guys know what we do. We always take care of our listeners, and so do our advertisers, and we love that. So at paintyourlife.com, there's going to be no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money will actually be refunded, which is awesome. And that's guaranteed. And right now, as the limited time offer, you can get 20% off your painting. Hey guys, to get this special offer, all you got to do is text the word TNQP to 64000. That's TNQP to 64000. Text TNQP to 64000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter the most. All right, guys, let's get to this interview with Will. Hey, Will, welcome on the podcast, man. Excited to have you.
Hey, excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Big man.
Good to see you, Will. Thanks for doing this. Yeah.
Living the good life out back home in Texas.
Yeah, back in the great state.
It's the stars are bright. Yeah, like if you had the opportunity to wear a trident, you.
I'm saying love is blind.
What?
Love is blind, damn it.
What?
I'm not a talker. I'm not a talker.
I hear you. I'm not either.
Hey, man, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, bro. So this is a miracle that this is happening.
I hear you, buddy. I just got interweb the other day.
It I don't even know what that is, but it sounds sexy. Fun.
Well, Will, why don't you kick us off by telling us kind of like your journey into the teams in the first place?
Well, so I grew up in Texas, Southeast Texas. I grew up in a trailer park. You know, nothing too crazy. Played football. Just a pretty normal Texas childhood. Good parents, great
parents. Pretty regular.
Yeah. Then played football, of course. Did the work program, so I'd cut out of school a little early when I was in high school. Played when I could, but I had to work as well. I always wanted to join the military as a kid, but I'd probably middle school, early high school, maybe. I decided I want to be a SEAL. I love the water. You know.
Have any family in the military before you?
My grandpa was in the Navy. He was a CB. You know, but he didn't really talk.
Forefather. There you go.
He didn't really tell me too many stories. He didn't talk about his time in the Navy too much. He would have.
Man, we got some cousins that are CBs.
Granddaddy's still walking around.
Power station.
Will, or is he passed on?
Nah, I've lost both my grandparents. It's like the looking back now, man. I was like thinking about it. How many times you get to come back home on leave? You know, that's only a certain amount of times over the years. And how many minutes is that you get to spend with the people you love? And looking back now, I was like, dang it, I should have, I don't know, reached out to them more. So they're both gone. But my parents are
here. Stop doing that. Don't beat yourself up about that.
Oh, for sure.
We all do that.
Definitely. But I just try to keep that in mind these days. It's like, didn't realize it when I was in the military, just young kid running a gun, loving my job, and still love my grandparents. I just, you know, looking back now, it's like, dang.
But you kind of had a lot going on, Will.
A little bit.
Yeah. Hey, because our grandparents are great too. We got a chance to have them, and man, the stuff that they would teach us, stuff that they don't even do anymore around in the modern age. And that's the stuff that I regret too. I was like, I wish I would have paid attention more when they were teaching us how to do that stuff.
Definitely, man. Like my grandpa always doing something, always in the shop, and my grandma, I wish she would have taught me piano or something. I remember her playing piano. Joined the Navy about 2 months after I signed up when I was 17. So I did the delayed entry program, I think is what it was called. So
I'm gone. So that was it.
Yeah. I had to go home and convince my parents not only join the Navy, but to sign up to be a Navy SEAL. My mom was a little, you know, she took a little more convincing. My dad was, you know, he signed pretty quick. But they ended up coming around. They knew by the time I turned 18, I was going to head off anyways. It was obviously what I had my heart set on, and nothing was going to stop me. But I worked for a few months.
You start training for it. Did you start training for that earlier? How did you find out about the SEAL program?
Yeah, you know, obviously heard about SEAL training. Watching Commando as a kid, you know, Arnold. I remember my mom, like, I'd color myself with black crayons, and she whooped my butt. Kids having to rinse me off in the shower for, like, you know, camoing up with crayon and you know, watching Navy SEALs with Charlie Sheen. It's just all that. I love the water. And I was like, boom, if I'm gonna do it, I want to test myself, and you know, you guys know the deal. See if we have what it takes.
Oh man.
When I said I want to be a Navy SEAL, how many people you think looked at me like an idiot? Like, Yeah. Sure. Like, all right.
Same. Yeah, exactly. Those are the same two movies we watched. Yeah. Our mother rented that movie from the video store, and we would literally watch it over and over again. And when Navy SEALs came on with Charlie, I mean, he's our generation. He's the one that produced our generation of Frogmen. That's why we act the way we do.
Right.
You know, that's the truth. In that documentary, Silent Option, you put some of those together, that's why we're all movie buffs, because that shit raised us, man. And definitely. Always on the water. I mean, even in the wintertime, find something to do out there.
Yeah, I'm not a very fast swimmer. I'm a little slower when it comes to swimming. Some great swimmers in the class, like college-level swimmers. And it took everything in me. You know, every ocean swim was, 40 minutes of just flutter-kicking pain. But I was real comfortable. So
hit 80 minutes.
40 minutes. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, 70. No, 75, right? 75.
I was like, wait a minute. You could swim 2 miles in 40 minutes because I am a fast swimmer.
I could.
It's the only thing I was good at. Jesus, man, you had those rocket. I heard now they got jet fins. Yep. Like real jets, not just the old school jet ones we had.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
40 minutes. What the hell?
Right. Yeah, right?
I'm sorry, bro. Go ahead. That's funny.
No, I was a slow swimmer. So being comfortable, the drown proof was fairly simple. I had my swim buddy though. Well, not my swim buddy, but one of my roommate, Jason Higgins. He was a slow runner, but he could swim. So he would, I'd be doing the ocean swim, 2 mile ocean swim, and just in pain, not loving my life, and looking at him. He'd be sitting there like dolphin kicking. He'd be going under me and over me, and him and another guy having fun. And I'm just like, dude, I hate you guys. But when it came to the run, he's a little bit slower on the run. So we would all get together, form the V, you're just pushing him from the back, and teamwork, all that good stuff.
That's awesome.
Hey, yeah. There's a lot of us in the teams because of that combination. And, that's the only way I got through. I had to be pulled and pushed through the runs.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was. The swim is no problem. Yeah, because the guy who pulled me through the run couldn't swim fast enough. So I pulled him. It was a give and take. I love that man.
Oh, yeah.
JB, thank you.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah, when did you come in? What year?
Graduated 2002, so I left 2002. Worked with a few months with my father. So yeah, you're asking, after high school, started working with my father. He did cell phone tower communications. He built them, and I am terrified of heights. Like, I don't like heights at all, man. So it was a win-win. It was a good paying job, like more than I was used to making, working at the washing dishes or whatever. And it was a good time to spend with my father before I left. And then I was like, all right, let's see if I can suck it up, buttercup, and get up that tower. I did not like heights, and it was like, all right, see if we'll do it, man. I did.
you joined the teams in 2002. I mean, you got into Buds in 2002.
Yeah, joined Buds 2002. I graduated in November 2003. So, joined the boot camp. It's hard to remember. August. Yeah, 2002.
Wait, 246. Okay.
Yeah,
trying to remember my Hooyah class. But, hey, 240.
Which class had the all guys die and cut it down on Thursday? Was that 247?
No, it's 235. I was there.
If you're in the first 300, that's our class. You got the Vietnam separation. Then now we're the old guys. That's unbelievable.
We're not old. Hey, don't you say.
Know what I mean? Well,
blasphemy, boy.
Did you put that on me?
No blaspheming down here.
Won't you put that voodoo on me?
Yeah, right.
Don't you put that on me?
We're in a prime.
That's right. Damn right. Yeah. Damn right. The first 20 part of this, they had to hammer all the steel into place to make sure it was set. Yeah. And now they just got to. It may take a little bit to get some of them engines running, but that's okay. They're running.
That's it. You got to warm it up. It'll go.
Warm that bitch up. It'll go.
It'll go.
Oh, man. Right,
so graduated, then we went on to the teams. You only did a couple of platoons before you went over to Damneck, right?
I did two deployments with SEAL Team 4. First one was mostly PSD. So it was a little slow, but inexperienced. And then the second deployment was Baghdad, and you know, with the whole Solder City thing, it was busy, much busier.
Was
that's a long time ago now, looking back at that.
Was Schweitzer your CO?
No.
Who was it?
I'm sorry. Dude, I can't even remember.
That's what I love talking to guys. Like, yeah. I don't know my CO's name. Mass Chief was Mass Chief so-and-so, but
I can remember.
Yes, sir.
Some of the Mass Chiefs. There's a lot of stuff I don't remember.
Come see me. I'm a brain guy, man. I can help you out.
Yes. Yes, definitely. We can definitely dive into some of that. I've been aching to come out there and see you guys just to.
Yeah. You ain't going to believe this place. I mean, it's great. We got you now, though.
I like it.
Go ahead. All right. Hey, I know a lot of people like to hear this when we talk to the team guys now. I get a lot of notes on. So what when you started, were you a summer or winter? How many guys were in your class? Do you remember that when you started? How many did you guys come out with?
Yeah, we were summer class. So they made up for us. We call it in our Hell Week shirts. We said
beat down.
Oh, the beat down. We call the hammer class is what we put on our Hell Week shirts because. And then, Doc, I don't know what we started with. I think it's in the book, but the official numbers, and they looked up, you know, a couple hundred. Graduated with 22 originals, 44-ish total, I think. And we lost a lot of guys in NDOC because they're like, oh, you're a summer class, and they just hammer us. It was good. Yeah.
Get them down.
Yeah, I'll make up for it. That water's still cold.
Yeah. To temper that steel, it's really hot, really cold, and beat the mess out of it. You can't pull. You're going to get both.
Oh, you're going to get it. Don't make that happen.
Right after we kind of went through, there was guys that had the contracts that were getting paid to go through Hell Week, or they would get paid if they went back through Hell Week or back through Buds. I was like, I would never do that. Some guys said they had a good time there. I was like, I don't know. You must not have been putting out as hard as I was then.
Man.
That thing sucked.
Yeah. I mean, the guys, obviously, that's – you got to have a pretty good sense of humor to get through all that crap. But I definitely don't miss going through the crap. I miss the grab ass jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, great times doing that. But going back through Hell Week again, better be worth it. What are we doing? Why am I doing this?
All right. Get over to Damn Neck. Tell us that story.
Squeezed by. Got people out there who don't know. Damn Neck's basically like another Buds for SEALs. Just there, they know everybody's not going to quit. I was lucky enough to make it through that process and make it to my squadron. Without too many hiccups, I guess. Got over there. Man, that was, you know, one of the greatest days of my life, you know, showing up over there, being around a great group of guys.
So, hey, when you graduate, I don't think I've ever asked anybody this. When you graduate Green Team, and you're right, for people who don't know, to go to Damn Neck over to SEAL Team 6, you got to go. It's like going back through Buds again. There's a whole deal. They know you're not going to quit, so there's a pizza snot out of you. And from what I understand, I only made it to 5. I never made it to 6. When you guys get into the program, is it like when we finished up Buds? Like it's a graduate? Like you feel that kind of – that's probably one of the best feelings ever I had was when we got to graduate SEAL training. I remember that day. I can still smell the air. That was a life-altering moment for me. I never thought that would happen.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
graduating Buds, or making through Hell Week, graduating Buds. And then I remember when a guy I still love to this day, I worked with it in my squadron. I remember him throwing the patch at me. You're going here.
That's cool, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was like, whoo. Just thinking about that right here, I feel it. Yeah, no doubt.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I can only imagine. Because, yeah, the stress levels from what I never went either, but I just talking to buddies that were over there with you guys, it's like that Green Team is a nightmare.
You just got to stay. All the stress, you just got to form. No pressure. And then even once you graduate, it's just like graduating Buds. I was a pretty decent shot. Pretty good, but when I showed up to my squadron, I was like, all right, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna, like, you know, get to the range. I'm gonna first shoot in evolution. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try to beat everybody here. Are you kidding, bro? No, like, even how, like, just coming out of that, all that training, I thought I was pretty shit hot. And so, no, still got a lot, long ways to go.
But that's the mind rub. That's the mind rub. It's like you come out of that, so they're looking at you like you just went through all that, and you're also feeling it, and they're all laid back. It's because, you know, when we get around all of them and you finally get your battle rhythm, and nobody, it's not that we don't give a shit. It's like, hey, that pressure's off because we all take it. And it's just, that's why everyone's so smooth, right? And when you're coming in trying to just to prove yourself, which you've already done going through all of that. That's the mind rubber. Like, okay, not only did I prove myself through every one of these, I got to keep proving myself every time. And that's, man, once they beat that into it, that can never go away. It's kind of like when they teach, when someone tells you to quit something now, like when they put you, when they just put up whatever they make us do. And then they come up like, hey, you need to quit that. I'm like, as soon as you say that word to me, I'm cutting you out of my mind. I was like, we don't quit anything. We'll find something to replace it or something else to do, but you can't walk up to one of us and say, hey, quit. You need to quit that. Like, what does that even mean? Every time they did that to me, they would beat me to death. And I'd be like, yeah, well, you know, I don't never quit. Right. So once you go through those gauntlets, and then, I mean, green teams, I guess, just to keep us humble, right. Because of the amount of watching you guys, the amount of fun you guys have. And I know y'all have fun because we're best friends with everybody and how much y'all talk about it. And that's what we do is we swap stories. That's what y'all are great at, making those great stories. So
we all are, for sure. Yeah. Good times. I miss it
all. I'll stop interrupting you so you can tell one.
Ha! That's a good way to look at it. And then, but even when you get there, it's still, like you said, you can go away at any time. If you don't keep up, if you don't perform, you know, make yourself an asset, not a liability. I heard Jimmy Hedge say that the other day, and I'm like, yeah, that's the deal. If not,
that dude says it.
You're fired, and it's nothing personal. But you know the stakes, and I don't want to be put in that position anyway. That's kind of towards the end of my career, which covers a little bit of my personal story in the book. But towards the end of my career, just with my brain health and a lot of other stuff going on, just wasn't feeling the same. I felt like I was a liability. And when you get to that point, after so many great years with so many great guys in my life, that's all I know. I still have my family back here in Texas, but this is my family too. To walk away from that, just have to step down from that. That wasn't easy.
Did you go to NICO?
Oh, yeah. I went to NICO. I mean, luckily, I had a great team leader who I love. He understood. They did everything that they possibly could. They threw everything at me that they could possibly have. NICO and try the ganglion block a couple of times. Tried every single modality that they had, they tried on me. And it felt better here and there. And then these days, listening to podcasts, I started learning all of this other stuff, and breathing, and meditating. Stretching.
Oh, buddy, trust me, I got stuff for you, man. Yeah. You can't even imagine. And I was one of the first SEALs to go through NICO.
Okay.
I was one of the SEALs. I'm not gonna toot my own horn. I probably brought ganglionic block to the NSW. Well, not too many people know that.
Right.
So yeah, I've got some stuff that we'll send you to and get you lined out. It's not a cure all, but
for sure.
It's another tool for your proverbial toolbox.
That's all that these things are.
That's a great, cool. Dude, that's the greatest thing about SEALs. It's like, yep. we're the test cases. That's what you signed up for. Expendable. And just because you stepped away from that, that doesn't mean that you're not one of those anymore. Problem is you just hadn't been activated. And when you talk about, like, you came back to your Texas family, they're your family. That's right. And so are we. And what happens in the platoon space when you're like, I don't, this is my family. I was like, other men, they were like in the platoon with you, are older than you. No one's the same age. It's brilliant in its design. And what happens is, it's like trying to go to the same party or recreate the same party that you had the good times back in when you were in high school and shit. It doesn't work that way. That's so new times conform. And when you're stuck in that transition period, you're like, man, I want to hold on to this. Because, and then the younger guys don't understand you, because the minute you switch over and you become the old man, which in our community is, we're not old, right? They take that away from you. That was the hardest thing I had to deal with, is when you walk into the room and everyone's, you know, all the boys stop laughing. You're like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the hardest thing for us, because that's what we live off of. So once you remove the fuel from us, that kind of fuel, you can't run like you used to. And you're trying, it's your mind remembers it. And it's like flashing those things in your head to like kickstart that engine. And when you're trying to putter in that, say, it doesn't work. And that's why we make these new memories. Right now, we're just kind of in that cocoon phase. We peaked early, is what all of our guys and our crew have been saying. Like, hey, shit, apocalypse going down. We peaked early. Now we're just sitting at the house waiting for everybody else to go through it. So at no point in time, remember, nothing can put you down. You can barely even put yourself down if you try it. Usually a bullet will do that. So no matter how crazy it gets, and I mean, you can't even believe the crap, the stuff my brother and I had to go through out here, man. It's a typical team guy. That's the kick. It's like when you get out and they separate us. Normally when we go through this crap, we're together. So it's not a thing. But the minute you pull us out and have us go through it by ourselves, and this is to make us stronger. That's the only reason it's happened, is just to make you even stronger than you are. Because remember that, you're a freaking Navy SEAL. There's only a handful of you on the planet, Earth, ever. The most lethal thing that ever walked Earth. I'm looking at it right now. So the minute you're sitting on that couch thinking you're anything other than that, is you doing that to yourself because you are not engaged. I mean, going to the bank and even driving down the road could be a mission in your head if you want it. And the way you roll, and the problem is, whatever it is you're watching, you're going to consume. That's what you're going to become. That's what a SEAL is. And they don't tell us that. So you're sitting there like, why the hell am I freaking this, that, and the other? I was like, well, look at my environment. Yep, I became exactly what's around me. So I need to, and there's no fuels to interject. That was the trick for me once I figured that out.
Definitely. And I was like, why did I have to go through all that? Like, it was pretty rough. Drinking myself to death, got up to 250 pounds. We were sitting there staring at my mom's house. Moved back in with my mom for a little bit because I couldn't drag myself out of a job. Sitting there staring at the wall for a good 30 minutes to an hour, just like, what is going on? Basically drinking myself to death. But you're right, like, why did I have to go through all that? And I think it was, I mean, the biggest thing I learned, I think, is my connection with God. You know, I've definitely improved on that. Losing the friends over the years wasn't easy, as if, you know, we all know. I think that affected my relationship. Now that that's back on track, I feel better. And brain health, you know, I think all these modalities kind of lead back to that, but you know, definitely my brain, I want to get that working better. And I found some great people out there, and it sounds like you guys have some great stuff as well. I just, you know, all these modalities, not every person is the same. So, you know, put all these tools in your toolbox.
No one's the same.
Nobody's the same. Put all these tools in the toolbox. In the shot, right?
That's it, man.
That's it.
The good Lord has a funny way of jerking a knot in your ass when it's time. Bro, you're right where you're supposed to be. We've all, you know, we kind of been sitting there, and when you're checking in here, it's to let you know, like, hey, you're on the path. Just keep charging forward, and your day is only as hard as you're gonna make it. All right, now let's tell me about the dog. I need to hear about that dude.
The boy. I mean, he probably got me through some some hard times as well. I mean, where do I even start?
Get paired up. I don't even know that story. Like, when you get over there, how do you become a handler? If you can talk about that, do they even open that up?
Yeah, definitely. The first deployment with the squadron, I saw how valuable they were. Like, I love dogs growing up. Huge dog guy. You got to have a responsibility, right? You got to have collateral duty. What are you drawn towards? I love sniping. So at Team 4, I got the trifecta. I got comms, so a sniper, and JTAC. And I loved it. Perfect.
That's a good setup. Awesome setup.
I was gung-ho. Yeah. So then when I got to when I saw the dogs at my first deployment, I was like, I love dogs. And then they would just save people's lives. I'm like, cool. I gotta have a responsibility. I'll take care of a dog for one opportunity to even have the chance to save one of my guys, to get him out of a bad situation. I'll take on that responsibility. I mean, I love dogs. And it makes me an asset too, right? Like, you're going to plug me in. It might make me a little more valuable if something's going on, which actually worked out. Like, if it wasn't for the dog, I wouldn't have been chosen to participate on the big mission either. I mean,
Can you give some insight on, I don't even know if I can ask this or if I should ask this, but I know there's books out on it now, but how did that all go down? Can you tell us? Are you allowed to say? I mean, I know there's all the non-disclosures and whatnot, but I was always interested, and I'm sure everybody else out there is like, how you, and then what happened from the time that they were like, hey, bro, guess what? And then till go time, what did that look like?
Because it's the most badass mission ever. Okay, I just want to tell you that you were a part of that. The fact that y'all wrecked a helicopter is the coolest thing I've ever heard of. I mean, the fact that y'all did that and still got that mission done lets you know how awesome that squad was. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just had to
do that. Everybody that had something to do with that. I mean, you know, we can't do our job alone. I mean, we got to get there. The pilots crush it. The people who put together all the intel were awesome. Every single person came together to support that. But yeah, when think about that, the we're going after who we're going after, so no pressure. And then helicopter, you almost die in the helicopter crash. Luckily, those guys are badass. They softly land that thing. So you almost die. You're after who you're going after. Those guys didn't even skip a beat. It actually improved the situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the level that those guys are on. And, you know, I say I'm nobody. I mean, I work my ass off to get there. We all know the deal. But compared to some of those guys, like, you'll never hear their stories. But holy crap, those guys, you know. I earned my way there, but man, it was pretty crazy. Everybody, like, even towards the end, just the way things flowed, and there's some bad situations. So the book covers a lot of this, and, you know, it took a long time to get it approved, and I still want to respect everybody that's still in. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to make anybody mad or get any of my brothers hurt. We went through the approval process. Everything in the book is approved, but, you know, I get uncomfortable talking about it. Definitely.
I'm sure. Yeah, no, you don't have to. I just,
but just even towards the end on X-Fill, it was literally like something out of a movie. It's just the way this watching goes, guys flow. And I mean, me and Cairo had an essential job, which it covers in the book as well. And I was just basically there to babysit him and watch him work. He uses his nose and do sweeps of the perimeter, any explosives and tunnels. The same thing on the inside, looking for hidden rooms, you know.
Dude, that's a mobile sniper team. Swim buddies, I mean, we always go down two men. I mean, the guys going in and doing their thing, that's sexy as shit too. But I mean, everyone looks at that dog as like a dog, like a regular dog. They don't understand that he's just like a human on force. I mean, and y'all have code and talk and touch and everything. Like a lot of people don't appreciate. That's why your book's so good to come out right now. And with people getting into the canine, especially when we're coming out now. Like all the SEALs are getting done. Our generation is flowing back out. And what you've accomplished with that, and don't sell yourself short. That's one of the coolest ones. Because you're out hanging out by yourself. And you know, you'll find the stuff that no one else will.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that.
Definitely.
That was the coolest part.
I say Cairo is valuable. He definitely needed Cairo on that mission for sure. But he was an essential role, no doubt about it. I really thought that he was going to find something, you know, considering who we were going after, and we knew what the stakes were. I mean, I knew that he was going to pick up on something, and we were definitely a valuable asset. That's why I joined. That's why I wanted to be a dog hand in the first place, you know.
Tell you that JTAC sniper trifecta that you run around with, and are you a medic too?
No, I love it though.
Okay, and the dog handler that kind of guarantees you like we always were like, hey, volunteer for everything. That way, if a mission goes down, they need something. You got that qualify, get it on.
Yes, so, you want to go on every mission possible, right? Okay, who doesn't want to go to comm school? All right, I'll go. You gotta have a comms guy. Yep, that's it. I worked out in my favor. They're like, you're going. And I'm like, cool. I didn't care either way. Didn't realize what I was getting at the time. And then afterwards, I pushed for the other ones. And I really had to push for sniper. They wanted to send me to breacher. I had to be very persistent. And
you can't cross those streams, those two things.
Don't
cross those streams. That's one of the ways I wound up on Red Wing is because I had that. I had the 18 Delta qual, so I had the four.
I wish if I would have known what I know now. Like, I love all that medical stuff. I would have definitely tried that out.
It's the most beneficial skill to have out here now,
right?
The dog handling skill that you have and that kind of stuff. And I hear some guys saying, you know, we don't need snipers out in the civilian world. I'm like, well, not that qual. Or that title, I mean, but everything that goes to being a sniper, like, you know, patience, discipline, the meticulous, all that stuff comes into everything we do. Every skill set does. That's the cool part about it is like you can just take that skin off of us, that uniform, but everything's already packed in there. That's the pressure that comes with wearing that freaking Trident. Most everybody else will wear the Eagle, the gun, everything in between. There's only one group walking around with that Trident, and that's us with that water sign, man. And that's the beat that, trust me, brother, you're ready for everything out here.
Definitely. But I agree with you. That medical training would, looking back on it now, really wish I had more. But we did quite a bit. I loved it. I'd hop on every single course that I possibly could. Obviously, it's nothing compared to the 18 Delta.
All right. So when you guys got back, how did you wind up keeping him? Or is that kind of like the deal? When you guys get paired up, you just get to keep him?
Your dog. Handlers usually
get break up.
Or primary handlers usually get first choice. I was Cairo's primary handler. Once I was done working him, you know, you do a couple of rotations and then it's time to go back to being the assaulter. I handed him back over. Then I got recalled. I was in free fall jump master school. Like I said, we just got back from deployment. I handed Cairo back over to the kennel. Knew he'd be in good hands with some of those MAs over there and the other guys. He was staying within the family and the squadron, so he wouldn't be too far away. It's good to be back to a shooter, to being a shooter. I went a free fall jump master with my best friend, Nick Check, one of my best friends. While we were there.
I thought you were afraid of heights.
Yeah, but you got to have that qual if you want to. You got to have that qual. Definitely wasn't my favorite thing. But, hey, better keep up.
Oh, man. Yeah, I get the free fall qual, but I feel like the free fall jump master, that's like, you know, that's going the extra mile.
Well, yeah, especially when we went to Arizona to do it, and it's not the best place. But I was there with my best friends. So I'm like, cool, at least I'm here with you, bro. We're going to have some fun. A couple days in, I get a phone call from my team leader. Like, hey, come back, got your plane ticket. Pick up Cairo, show up to the team room at this amount of time. I go back into the classroom. I'm like, hey, Nick, we got to go or whatever. And he's like, what are you talking about? I didn't get anything. So it was just me. I was like, huh, this is, so it was really weird from that point forward. Like, huh, it's like, why would they recall me and not him? Like to say, you know, Nick was, he was a better operator than I was, hands down. That's what made it so weird. I'm like, why would they call me back? Not you. I'm like, I guess something with the dog. But I was supposed to have turned him over already, but you know, we're pretty busy. Things like this happen all the time. And somebody had some family stuff or something happening. So they just recalled me. I just got back from deployment. We were fresh. We knew what we were doing. Made sense. Like, hey, just come back from that school. Come grab him. We don't know exactly what's going on with something. Once that happened, you know, I was still young, early 20s, probably, or, you know, mid-20s, forget. And then I didn't care. I was like, yeah, cool. Whatever we're doing. I get to hang out with Cairo again. I hope it's something cool. We showed up into the team room, got home no problem. I guess one of the funny things. So leaving that course, I went and saw Nick, and Nick's like, no, I'm not getting recalled. I'm like, ha, have fun staying here by yourself, dude. Sucks for you, bro.
Yeah.
I probably sucks slapped him in the mouth or something, or, you know, probably knock you, he would beat me up. But he got me back. The next day, they were asking, like, hey, where's your SEAL friend? He's like, oh, he quit. I told the entire class that I quit. I'm like, cool, thanks, man. You got me good. But, yeah, we got back, grabbed the dog. And things were a little weird at first. They eventually told us what's going on. We just conducted training and made sure our affairs were in order.
They take y'all to train somewhere else?
Yeah, we had a few.
Will, or did y'all train right there?
Both. Had a few places we went. No, just the same thing me and Cairo were doing before deployment. Just maybe we know who we were going after is obviously different, so the pressure's on.
How many helicopters have you crashed?
I haven't been in zero helicopter crashes.
Well, see, that's the cool part. That's what I'm talking about. Like the fact that you, and you know, the mission, I get that. And everybody I talk to from the odds, like, bro, it's just like a regular deal. All y'all say that. I'm like, hey, it's just like a regular deal. And it was, I was like, yeah, but I mean, like Mojo's been in a helo crash and y'all had one go down. And I have, that changes everything when you have a fallen angel. Yeah. I mean, when that goes down, I mean, it's hard to keep your cool. I don't think I kept my cool. I don't think I remember looking as cool as everybody thinks I did when I was going through that crap. I don't, that's not how I felt. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh shit. But yeah. The fact that y'all, I mean, that's just a compliment to both you two, man, for having that one, going through that fire like that. God, dog. That's why that thing is different, because of who you were going after and the fact y'all put a bird down.
Oh, no, definitely. Those pilots, thank God for those pilots in there. Amazing job. They got landed it safely. Those guys didn't skip a beat. Crushed
it. How long to when you got the notice that you were on the team till y'all went?
It's hard to put my finger on exactly. We had a decent amount of time to train.
Okay.
It, you know, it wasn't immediately told to us. So,
is it guys you'd worked with before, or they pulled together kind of a who's who of the zoo out of the team?
They pulled together certain people. The only reason I was selected because Cairo. No, I was a good handler, or one of the handlers couldn't make it, and I was ready to go. So
other than that, kicking it. I bet that handler's like, damn it.
Hey, I may not be what you want, but I'm damn sure what you need.
He's a great man.
He's a great man. My wife would say that all the time.
Yeah.
Now, Will, when was Cairo injured?
So I want to say it was 2009, like June 2009. We're going after a couple bad guys, going to the compound. They heard we were coming. Four guys fled. Two guys on two different little mopeds, loaded down. We ended up following one moped. They ended up getting to a tree line before we were allowed to engage. The ROEs didn't let us allow us to drop bombs on the tree line once they'd gotten there. So we landed the helicopter, made our way up to the tree line. There was a kind of like a 3 or 4 foot low wall. Did the escalation of force, you know, since those guys were turds, they weren't really they weren't listening to us. We did the escalation of force thing. Eventually I was told by my team leader, send Cairo in. I sent him off on the right hand side. I ended up losing him in the trees. It's hard to keep track of the dog, you know, in the dense brush. And then just remember trying to make my way down the line as I'm looking for him. I hear gunshots. Cairo listened really well. So as soon as I heard gunshots, I tried to recall. I don't know how long it took, but I knew after a certain amount of time, I knew something was wrong because he wasn't coming back. Eventually I looked to my kind of down to the left, down my flank, and I see him down the way, coming back to me nice and slow. I started making my way to him, and then all of a sudden he collapses, and I immediately thought he was dead. I mean, when dogs get shot like that, they usually don't survive. It's, you know, it's 70-pound dog taking a 7.62 round. He got shot through his chest and his leg, you know. So as soon as he collapsed, I'm like, shit, I figured he's dead immediately. I knew my guys had the situation under control. They didn't really need me up there, so I was able to make my way over to Cairo immediately. Saw that he was still breathing, which was a great sign, but, you know, we weren't out of the weeds yet. I wasn't like I was happy about it. I was just, you know, happy he's still with us. One of the guys that was on the line, he was a medic. He knew Cairo had been hit. Call came over the radio. He was smart enough to come back and give me some assistance, and it was great, man. It was everything that we had trained for in such a shitty situation. It was, you know, it sucked the dog got shot, but to see that kind of flow in such a, I mean, think about that. The dog is shot. Things are going bad. Everybody, like, I knew to have been making my way over to him. He knew to come off the line. And as I'm getting, so we carry, you know, a specific med kit for the dogs, as I'm handing it to him, he's breaking it open and ripping out what he needs because he knows what he needs. I'm taking Cairo's vest off and putting his muzzle on. It's like just in time. He's sticking his fingers inside Cairo's chest. And Cairo, like, you know, he has a high pain tolerance, but when you're sticking your fingers inside of the dog's chest that just been shot, he's a working dog. He might try to bite your fingers off. Yeah. So I mean, it was just perfect time. I had the muzzle on him. He was putting gauze in his chest. And then if it wasn't for him, I'm not sure how that would have turned out. It was a time sensitive situation. I'd say we did a pretty good job. It was just cool to see how that flowed seamlessly. They called in the helicopter to come pick us up, you know, the CASVAC. Those helicopter pilots flew into a dangerous situation, just like any one of us would have gotten shot. On the bird, he was treated just like any soldier. He was worked on by a medic on the bird. When he got back to base, we didn't have a veterinarian. He was worked on by actual surgeons, continued to save his life. They did a great job. And then we got him to a vet. And as soon as we did, you know, those people continued to save his life. And everybody who had a part, I can't say thank you enough. He ended up pulling through. But that night when we got him to the vet, man, he looked rough. I'd never obviously seen him like that. I laid with him the entire night on the floor. And in case he passed away, I wanted to be there. He bounced back pretty quick, though. It was crazy to see, kind of like, those dogs, man, they can take some pain. And
tough as shit, man. They can take some freaking pain. They can take some pain.
Like, dude, you just got shot the next day. Okay, you know, there's some pictures which are in the book, like him walking slowly. Like, that's by far, him collapsing was weird. I've never seen you do that. And then him, like, just barely being able to make it outside to be able to use the bathroom. Just the fact that he was able to get up. And then not even too much longer after that, we had sunglasses on him and he's wagging his tail. It's like, there he is. All right, he's going to be good.
Damn.
It was crazy. Those dogs, he broke his canine in half once. We're doing some training and he, I don't know, crazy Malinois walls, did something, stuck it somewhere, broke it in half. I opened the cage up and I'm looking in. I thought it was a toenail or something. That's weird. What is that? Look, and it's his canine. Look, I pick up his, you know, lip and sure shit. Take him to the vet tech. I would have never known he had an exposed nerve until the vet tech lifted up his lip and put his finger right on the nerve, and then the dog kind of wasn't happy. Cairo was pretty laid back, you know, for being a working dog. Do that with some of those other dogs, see what happens. You're going to lose some of your face.
Yeah. I've been saying, I was like, man, I wish I was half the man my dog thought I was. right? And I wish I was half as tough as they are, because they were going to take a shot, keep going. Just say, hey, man, because we're sitting there going, hey, man, you know, take a day. You know, walk down and lay up a little bit. Take some load off. Like, nah, we'll get back into it. All right.
Yeah, man. Didn't skip a beat. He was back at work. Those people, even the people of Lackland who rehabbed him, they crushed it, because when he got back, we weren't sure how he was going to act. But when I got reunited with him, it was great. He remembered me. Jumped up into my – he liked to jump up in your arms and put his paws here, and he had periodontal disease, his rot mouth. He put his mouth right here and just pant that hot trash air right in your face. So happy to see me.
Love you too, man.
Love you, buddy.
Swing by the store, get some Mentos and some milk bones. It's gonna be great.
Way me on in Mentos. Yeah. But he was happy.
I lost one the other day, and it's so funny because with them, it's not that they can't communicate back. It's just you have to learn to communicate with them. And when you're with, no one can appreciate what when you're unless you're partnered up with a dog and spend as much time as we do with ours. You know, more than three or four hours a day. You spend all the time with them. There's that bond is formed with them. And when they get snatched away, it's like, man, I was kind of, you know how we were doing earlier. It's like, man, I wish I had a, it's not that I didn't bitch at you because you were doing that. I was like, you know, but I miss the annoying part. So, you know, it's the little things in life. I think that are the blessing that they bring out.
And so many ways.
I've been a dog walker for going on 12 years now myself.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about the dog. I was just talking with Morgan before we got on about that. It's, sorry, man.
Damn, bro, it happened so fast, man. You know, the little ones, they get hit. Yeah. She got hit right. So, you know, she got hit on the paw. And she was all furred up. You know, we got this quarantine on. She looked like a used 50 cal boar brush. I mean, or a cotton swab. She was just poof.
Yeah.
And I just thought she had a sticker in her hand. Because that's what she was normally sitting like that.
Yep.
And then she got some incontinence going on, and then she threw up. Once they got the goo goo doll out, I was like, uh-oh. I mean, bro, fast. So it had to be a juvenile snake and just dump that whole load in, I guess. So I saw, you know how it works, man.
Buddy, you never know. You never know when you're going to lose them. That's when I'm like being present here with the dogs. They keep me, especially with all this stuff going on lately. I'm not used to all this. My anxiety. I'm not healed by any means. I can't wait to get out there and see what you guys have going on to help me certain issues. But you know, they keep me grounded when I'm stressed out.
Well, that's what it's for.
Yeah.
Don't look at it like you got like the dog. Like, man, I got assigned to be a dog walker when I got out of teams. Like, I literally had to take Mr. Rigby around the earth and show him off. Like, he's like, hey, I want to go to the States. You know, it's not like I was doing it and he was going with me. I just reversed it like a team guy. Like, I was there to facilitate him traveling around.
Yeah.
And it takes a while. But don't worry, brother. You're stronger than you even know.
Oh, yeah, man.
Otherwise, Cairo wouldn't hang out with you.
It definitely, the dog's going to help me get through some stuff. You know, going, especially, like I said, that transition. And it was rough for Cairo. It's good having him home. And then when he passed, I had another dog named Hagen. She was a real special girl too, man. I almost put her on the dedication for the book. I put, you know, the books for Cairo and his story, but I almost put her name in there too, because she was great. She got me through his passing. And then when she passed, she all of a sudden, man, started acting weird. Something attacked her thyroid or something. And she shut down within hours and she was gone. And then these dogs helped me get through that. Yeah. You just never know. So it's like, be present with them while you can. It, you know, you could use that for my whole family. Like we were talking earlier, like all the amount of time that I spent coming home on leave. Okay. Now you only get so many, you get once a year. How many minutes is that spent with my grandparents? So you add all that time up. That's not that many minutes. And looking back on it now, it's like, you don't realize it that time. You don't have a whole lot of it sometimes. So when you're there, be present, like use that time for
seize the day, right?
That's it. You never know. Never know, man.
Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit more about the book?
Yeah, the book's called No Ordinary Dog. It's about my dog Cairo that I had in the SEAL teams. The basic gist of the stories covers a little bit of his beginning, a little bit of my beginning, a little bit of his beginning, how we met, some of the training, how that takes part, bond that we formed, and then doing some missions together. covers the mission that we went and got Osama bin Laden, then goes through his retirement and my retirement and how we came together at the end and how that all played out. So I guess the kind of overall gist of the story.
Where can people get it?
They can get anywhere books are sold, Amazon, any bookstores. I read the audio version myself, so you can get the audio book and hear my voice if you actually like
it. Oh, cool. You did it yourself?
For some reason. Yeah, I did. It was so much fun.
Oh, good. Nice work.
having that, it's like you're having this in your face, and you're like, I don't know what to do with my hands, and just.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby moment.
Ricky Bobby.
I don't know. Hey, man, you know they're going to make a movie about that. And I mean, like, all the great dog movies from Old Yeller, Red Fern Grows, Marley and Me, you know they're going to make one about that dog. And the fact that your voice played over on it, that's cool, man.
We'll see what happens. That's how I like to look at it when people ask, like, it's a Navy SEAL Marley and Me. It's amazing.
Right?
Yeah. See what happens.
That crazy somebody jump out of airplanes and helicopters.
We went through some stuff, man. We did some, I mean, think about that. The dog that you have at home, everybody at home is the dog you love. You can communicate with that dog sometimes. You love that dog. That dog tells you when he needs to go out and feed me. Like, okay, we had that bond. And we got to jump out of planes. I never got to skydive with him on my chest. I wish I was a little more comfortable in the air. We would hand him all to the guys that were, you know, sky gods, good sky jumpers. God. Yeah. We don't want to get the dog injured or do something stupid. But fast rope with him, rappelling with him, all the cool places we got to go, man. So that built the bond. And then just the missions, like the dog saving. He got shot for us. Like, that's cool. Thanks, man. And then, so he almost sacrificed your life for us. That's a big deal. And then the UBL mission. Jeez. And then just how he was there for me at the end. Yeah, it's more than just that. I guess somebody was asking me, like, what do you want to tell him? And, well, it's just Cairo's name's out there. But he was so much more. Everybody knows him as Cairo, the dog that was on the Bin Laden mission. There's so much more than that. There's so much more that goes into it. So much more than
him and
all the guys on the team, man. And not even just the team. The whole team, the whole big picture, you know, it took a lot of people for that to get done.
Oh, man. Yeah. Good job again, bro.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
You hear it a lot, man. Yeah. Good job.
Hey, Will, we got to wrap this up by asking you, what's your greatest never quit advice for our listeners?
That's just, I love y'all's message. Just never quit. Start listening to.
That's right.
Getting through podcast. That's it, man. Like, I was going through my tough time and I never quit and reach out. I wasn't reaching out to people. I secluded and, you know, I might not have stuck a gun in my mouth, but I was drinking myself to death. Let's just say that much. I wasn't in a good place. It's hard to, it's your brain that's messing up on you. It's, you know, when you're putting alcohol on top of that, it doesn't really mesh so well. I wasn't
reaching out.
Reach out to a friend if you think somebody might need to be, because my best friend, Jared Shaw, he reached out to me and he's like, dude, I'm going here. You're coming. I wasn't going to let him go alone, you know, or reach out to somebody. But yeah, just don't know. Never quit, man. It's always something out there. There's so many good people out there. There's so many modalities. Don't give up on it. Try this one and give it a good shot. If that doesn't work, try this one. If that doesn't work, try this one. Okay, well, none of those work, but this one and this one together for a certain amount of time worked. Or this one, you know, everybody's different.
That's it.
That's it, man. And that's what I found best. Try different things. I get on my knees and pray to God every day and just try to do good things and help people out. Do what I can.
God bless you, brother.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you all. I really appreciate it, guys. Great talking with you.
Thanks, Will.
See you in person.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got you. I needed this, bro. I'm stuck out here. I'm seeing my wife. I'm not being here alone. Hey, man, I've been needing a team guy. I sneak out to go see my brother. And they don't know that, so y'all don't tell nobody.
Yeah, as soon as all this virus stuff dies.
I secretly sneak out to see my brother.
Yeah. Well, I'd definitely come out there. Definitely. It's been since the kilt event or whatever. So, yeah. It's been a long time. So we'll get out there. Make it happen.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Will.
Yeah, there, brother, man. Yeah. We're out.
Hey, news.
Later.
Will, that was a great interview, man. We can't thank you enough for getting on with us. Can't wait to see you in person whenever the world kind of goes back to normal. Thanks, guys, for coming back and listening to the show every week. It's nice to have a little bit of positivity in our lives with all that's going on. Thank you guys for listening. Even though the audio might not be as perfect as it always is, we didn't want to stop putting out new shows and new interviews, even though we're kind of all separated right now. We wanted to make sure we were kind of bringing, you know, constant positivity, great never quit stories. And, you know, I'd say Will delivered that today. You guys have got to check out his book. It's called No Ordinary Dog. You can get it anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you name it. It's actually a number one bestseller on Amazon right now. It's a story that's definitely worth reading. Hey, if you guys want to follow Will, you can follow him at No Ordinary Dog Book on Instagram. He's posting lots of great content. You can check out his pups, see his story, find his book, all that good stuff. Thank you guys again for listening to our show every week. It means the world to us. If you want to be the first one to know when we drop new episodes and you need to make sure you subscribe to the show, you can press the purple subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or any other major podcast player to be notified the moment we release a new episode. Hey, make sure to share the episode with a friend. People right now are like looking down the barrel of some negative, you know, times in their lives. Maybe people have lost their jobs. Maybe people are bored at home. They can't work. Whatever it may be, sharing these stories kind of can get you out of a rut, get you out of a hard time. So share this episode with a friend. Hey, I wanted to let you guys know we're about to drop some brand new podcast merchandise. You guys are going to love the new shirt we put together. That will be released in the next couple days. You guys need to make sure to check out our Instagram account, team_neverquit, to be notified the moment we drop it. And if you're on Patreon, you'll actually have the first opportunity to get the new shirts first before anybody else. If you want to follow us on social media, you can follow Marcus at Marcus Luttrell, Morgan at Mojo Luttrell, and me at Andrew Brockenbush. Thank you guys again. We love doing the show. Check us back next week for another episode.